So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. Now, this week we are doing New Jersey, but before we get going here, I need to make something abundantly clear. In the event that my voice sounds a little off, about 45 minutes ago, I was attempting to remove a wisteria vine out of my backyard. It had gotten up into some trees over the shop. Went out there with some pruners and was cutting it out, and something kept buzzing around my head. And my dad's like, "Hey, you know, there's a fly buzzing around your head." I'm like, "Yeah, something's buzzing around my head, and it's really just aggravating me, right?" So I got everything cut out and poured some gasoline on the vine to kill it, and I started walking out of there, and something nailed me right on the chin. Just dead, a little bit to the right of dead center, right on my chin. And of course, immediately I knew I'd been stung. And obviously this thing was not a fly that was buzzing around me. It was probably a yellow jacket, because then my dad goes, "Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. There's like this big yellow jacket's nest right over here on the side of the shop." Thank you, Dad. Thank you for waiting until I'd been stung to alert me to the fact that there was a yellow jacket nest next to the shop. So I put an ice cube on my chin, and didn't have any onion. My ex-wife said put some onion on there. Only thing I had was garlic. I put that on there, and it's helped a little bit, but it's still pretty swollen. Oh, thank you, George. That's an incredibly huge comment. George says that with my chin swelled up like this, I look just like Leno. Thank you, George. That makes me feel so much better. So anyway, I just went out there and I dumped some gasoline down the hole. See, the problem is that there's an old fuel heating tank stored over the hole where the entrance is to this hive. Now, normally, I just go over and I pour some gasoline down the hole and it's no problem. Somehow or another, I guess swatting at this thing, I aggravated it so it stung me. But I put out pheromones that I can go over to a yellow jacket's nest, and they're flying up and down around my head, up one side and down the other, and I'm pouring gasoline down the hole, and they don't pay me any attention. Drop a match down there, boom, that's the end of them. And my grandfather was the same way. Back in the 50s, I mean, he'd be up on a ladder on the second floor, because he and my grandmother owned a motel, and he'd be out there pumping DDT, you know, with those old-fashioned pumper sprayers like you see in the Tom and Jerry cartoons. He'd be out there, poop, 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 just pumping DDT into this thing, and they'd be flying all around him. They never would sting him. Somehow or another, I got those genes. I put out these pheromones. They don't sting me. Problem is that this hole, like I said, is under an old fuel oil storage container, and I'm just a little leery about putting that much gasoline in the hole. But I poured some down there, threw a match in there. I kind of baked them out. There's a few still flying around. They will eventually die, but I should have waited until after the show. I really should. Because now, I mean, this is cutting into it. I mean, we're supposed to do New Jersey Well, New Jersey is a small state, so it's good. And this isn't like we're doing California or Texas or something like that. So I can probably get some wiggle room here. But anyway, again, folks, if I sound a little odd, it's because my chin is swollen up. I say like a tennis ball right now. It should go down in a few hours. After I get done with the show, I'll put some more ice on it, and that should do it. But right now, it's a little on the uncomfortable side. No, George, I do not look like Leno. His chin, no, yes, as swollen as mine is, his chin was way, way bigger than mine. So New Jersey is a fairly small state. It's not too much bigger than the state of Connecticut. It's only 7,787 square miles, which is only slightly larger than San Diego County. The capital is Trenton. The largest city is Newark. The major rivers are the Delaware, the Hudson, the Passaic, and the Raritan. Now, its elevation goes from sea level up to 1,803 feet at the top of High Point Mountain. Well, I guess that's fittily named. Now, the origin of the name comes from the Isle of Jersey in the English Channel, of which Sir George Canaris, who was one of the early proprietors of the colony, had been the governor, so he named it New Jersey. Now, we know New Jersey has several nicknames. We know the most famous one. It's also known as the Camden and Amboy State, the Clam States, the Jersey Blue State, and the Pathway of the Revolution. Everyone knows New Jersey, however, as the Garden State, and as I told you last week, that's because there's a Rosenbloom on every corner. New Jersey has the highest number of Jews of anywhere in the world. There are more Jews in the state of New Jersey than there are in the entire country of Israel. There are more Jews in New Jersey than there are in New York State, which is why it is typically referred to as New Jersey, the Garden State, oy vey. Now, aside from the stereotypical idea of New Jersey being overflowing with Jews, which it is, they are crammed into a really, really small portion of the state. New Jersey is really a very scenic state. If you overlook the citified areas and where the Jews have overtaken the state, a lot of New Jersey is very rural, folks. And of course, when you get into the upper portion of New Jersey, I'm sure you have all heard of Bergen County. That is like the Bel Air of the East Coast. It's even more expensive than the Hamptons. That is, of course, where all the rich Jews live. But the northern part of New Jersey is very mountainous. It's very woodsy. Black bears routinely wander into neighborhoods. And if you didn't know it was New Jersey, you would never believe it. It's a very picturesque part of the state. As you get further south, past, say, Toms River, you start to get into the Pine Barrens. Well, of course, that's well known for the Jersey Devil and many stories that surround that with some really spooky things. But a huge portion of New Jersey, when you get into the Pine Barrens, is unoccupied. And the further south you get towards Atlantic City, it actually gets very swampy and it's almost impossible to develop. There is a town here and there, but for the most part, this is really unspoiled wilderness, something that you would not expect to find in the Northeast. I don't know of any place, well, maybe the northern part of Maine might be more remote. When you get down into the Jersey Pine Barrens, particularly the swampy parts of it, there is nothing there, folks. It is that remote. And that's probably got a lot to do with the stories of the Jersey Devil, because nobody can get down there to really explore these areas. Now, there is a little town out in the middle of the swamps. It's just north of, Atlantic City. It's called Smithville. And Smithville is a touristy area. It is an original town, very much like Sturbridge Village in Massachusetts or Old Salem in North Carolina. It's been preserved. There is an old mill. It's got the wheel, the water wheel, the sluiceway, everything. But then what they've done is they've brought in these really exclusive gift shops and some high-end restaurants and put them around the pond. It's a really nice place to visit. But if you don't know what's there, you're not going to find it. I mean, you'll see a sign on the Jersey Turnpike that says Historic Smithville, but there's no explanation. But if you take the time to get off and drive the, like, 15 miles off the beaten path to get to this place, it's really cool. There are some very nice gift shops there. Again, it's got the old mill with the water wheel, and there is a very, very nice restaurant. I don't remember the name of it, but I do remember the food was awesome. So if you ever find yourself on the Jersey Turnpike coming out of Atlantic City, hit Historic Smithville. You'll love the gift shops, and you'll love the food. Now, before I go any further, I mentioned two places earlier, and I want to cover those right now. The first one is, of course, Atlantic City. If you are into gambling, Atlantic City is, of course, the Las Vegas of the East Coast. Well, at least it used to be, until the Indians built a huge casino in the middle of the wilderness in Connecticut and opened up the Foxwoods Casino, which is now the destination place to go even beyond Vegas and Atlantic City. But if you're into hitting the casinos, multiple casinos, on the East Coast, your only place to go is Atlantic City. And about 10 years ago, I had a girlfriend who had a little bit of a gambling problem, and she was from New Jersey, so we would go back to her parents' house in Toms River, which I will cover here in the next couple of minutes because I mentioned this earlier and there's something I want to cover about the town of Toms River. But we would head up to Toms River and then the whole family would go down to Atlantic City and she'd give me $100 and I'd throw the stuff in and I'd play the low-end things and, you know, it would last me all evening. While she was blowing thousands of dollars, you know, that $100 would last me all evening because I was not in any way, shape, or form greedy, so I'd play like the nickel slots and things like that, and I'd just have some fun. But there are a ton of places in Atlantic City to go. And actually, one time when we were there, I was starring in a TV show, and one of the things we had to do was to just come up with these things. Every week, we had to come up with something that's our production company could use for generating publicity for the TV show. So I came up with a brilliant idea to fly a kite off the top of the parking garage next to the Showboat Casino and got some really great pictures of me flying a kite with the Showboat Casino in the background, and that generated for some reason, I don't know why, but it generated a ton of feedback. But getting out of Atlantic City, let's go back to Toms River, because that was someplace else I had mentioned. You've probably never heard of Toms River, New Jersey, but I will guarantee you, you are very familiar with it. Toms River was the location of the Amityville Horror. The true location was, of course, Amityville out in Long Island, but the house that they used was in Toms River, New Jersey. And the really funny thing about this is, if you go there now, you can look at the house, and it's completely unrecognizable. They've gotten rid of those quarter-round windows on either side of the chimney, and they put some square ones in there. They've built a huge two-car garage on the left side of the house, and they've planted some Cryptomeria japonica on the right-hand side. And unless you knew that that was the actual house, you'd never recognize it. But this is where they actually filmed the Amityville Horror. And if you go back and look at Amityville 2, there is a classic shot of the car driving in the driveway in this huge open front yard before you get to the house. Well, there's about 5 or 6 acres in there, folks. And that's prime real estate, which has subsequently been subdeveloped. The whole front yard is now a very exclusive subdivision. And once again, that White House has now been painted blue. And unless you knew that that was the actual house, you'd never know that it had been there. But that is Toms River, New Jersey's claim to fame. George is telling me I gotta take a quick break. When I do, I'll come back with some cool places to actually visit within the state of New Jersey.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan in your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
From electric outages to the zombie apocalypse, get your survival tips from Prepper Bob. He's the world's biggest Boy Scout, and he's only right here. Only on the Prepper Bob Show, and only on KKKRadio.com. That's the Prepper Bob Show. Check your local listings at KKKRadio.com. And remember to always be prepared.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. What in the world was that, George? Where's my fade in? Well, no, I didn't. Yes. You're fired. Yes. Again. I don't know. 56 or 57? Keep going, dude. Find me something to fade back in now. Of course, talking about the state of New Jersey. Now, I told you when I first started the show, I gotten stung in the chin, which is now swollen up. But I got Leno's chin and Steve Wozniak's neck. I can really feel it putting a lot of pressure on my neck. So if I start to sound like my lips aren't moving too well, that's why. But hopefully I've only got, 10 minutes left, so I think I should be okay. Do my best here. But again, talking about the state of New Jersey, and the thing about New Jersey is, like a lot of the Northeast, there's really two separate cultures. You have, of course, the historic aspect, as well as the modern leftist liberalism that has taken over so many of these places. Places that are really nice places. Upstate New York, for example, it's a beautiful state, but it's the liberal Jews in New York City proper that ruin it for the rest of the state of New York. The same with New Jersey. New Jersey is a beautiful place. You have wilderness in some parts. I mean, it's not wilderness like you'd find in Colorado, but I mean some very, very wild, remote parts. The Jersey Pine Barrens are still, for the most part, undeveloped. And you have a lot of historic places because there was a lot of history that took place in the state of New Jersey. Now, first and foremost is where Washington crossed the Delaware, just outside of Trenton. And that is at a place that's been forever kept as I don't know if it's a park or a monument, but it's Washington Crossing, Washington Crossing State Park. And that was, of course, where General Washington ferried his troops across the river. I believe it was on Christmas Eve, where a lot of them actually froze to death making the crossing. But crossing the Delaware at Trenton was where General Washington was able to make that decisive victory that ultimately turned the tides of the war. So you have that kind of history. Now, there's not a lot there. I'm trying to remember. I was, I'm maybe 7 or 8 years old when I visited it. But, it's fairly nice. There's areas, of course, where you can go picnicking. You know, I, of course, like to talk about places where you can picnic, because if you have your sweetheart, there's nothing more romantic than having a picnic lunch somewhere by a body of water or something like that. Do keep in mind there are geese there. I do remember I did get attacked by a goose. I just happen to remember that. So beware of the vengeful geese. Now, if you happen to be a little bit more of a history geek as opposed to a history buff, then you might be interested in a certain inventor by the name of Thomas Edison. Thomas Alva Edison, of course, was supposedly one of the greatest minds of American inventors. We do know that a lot of his ideas actually came from Nikola Tesla, and a lot of those things were actually stolen. But Thomas Edison is credited for a lot of inventions, whether he actually came up with them or not. Even if he didn't, he certainly beat everyone else to the punch to get the patents registered. But his laboratory was in West Orange, New Jersey, and you can still tour this place. You can kind of go into like his little room where he did all his research, and you know the actual lab itself, they've got some of that roped off, but the rest of it you can go through, and it's really, really interesting to see just how far ahead this guy was at that time. And his house is nearby. I'm not sure if that's in West Orange or not. It's still in the Oranges somewhere. But it's an old, old house. And if you're into historic structures, it's kind of a cool place to go and visit, too. It's nice sometimes going to these old historic houses like this, particularly ones that were owned by well-known people, because you can see exactly how they lived. And for the most part, most people live just like you and me. In this day and age, there are a lot more amenities that people with a lot of money will spend that money on, such as Lamborghinis and multi-million dollar homes and swimming pools that resemble waterfalls and things of that nonsensical nature. But for the most part, most people live the same way that you and I do, and it's interesting to see someone like Thomas Edison's house or Mark Twain's house in Hartford, Connecticut, that they had the same thing that we do. They're just like us. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like you and I do. So then, what if you're not into history and you're not a science geek? What if you're into music? What famous musical group is from New Jersey, George. Do you know? I was not thinking of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. No. Not Bruce Springsteen. Would I? No. Come on, you know I'm a rocker. That's right, John Bon Jovi. John Bon Jovi was from, I believe he's from Newark. And there's a very interesting story about how the group Bon Jovi was actually discovered. You see, John Bon Jovi had a job in one of the record production studios. He was, I believe, a custodian. He would sweep up the floors and everything. And he worked out a deal with the owner or one of the managers or something like that. He said, look, I got this garage band. Would it be okay if I come in after hours on my own time and we use the equipment? And they were given the go-ahead to do this. So they came in, they sat down, and they cut a single, which started airing on one of the local rock stations out of New York. And it became a huge hit. It became such a big hit that they were actually given their own record contract. The single that they cut was, of course, their first hit, Runaway. And that's actually what I'm going to use as my outro today, because it is a pretty good tune. It's the only tune by Bon Jovi that I actually like. It's their original sound, and it is the classic American success story. Yes, the janitor cut an album, and they made it big. That is the story of the American dream, folks. And on that note, I am out of time here. It's a good thing, too, because my neck is really, really starting to kill me here. It's really all I can do to maintain my composure. Hopefully I won't have to go to the ER over this. I don't get anaphylaxis, so I think it'll be okay, just as long as it doesn't swell so much that it actually squeezes my trachea down. But anyway, till next week, if you want to get in touch with me, you may always do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until then, my friends, be well. This is Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now. She's a little runaway. Shadows.